We are having a little episode, trying to get people connected by a conference call. You know how it is. You put a little layer of technology, and then phew, the wheels fly off.
Oh, yeah, just big fly in the ointment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today's April 30th, 2023. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff. Our sponsor this hour is Pepe Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Right now, they've got some great deals going on tractors and mowers. If you're looking for a mower, you better get in and get one because they are flying out of there. In fact, some of the models they are already sold out of, but they do still have a pretty good inventory on hand of some of them. So go in and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226.
Nice.
Yeah. Catch them on the web at
Pape Machinery. That's P-A-P-E
machinery.com.
Hey, Bill, I heard that John Deere won Best in Show for Show and Shine this year down at Cool April Nights. Is that true?
For flying tractors.
Yeah, they're always right in the top 10.
You can't go wrong there. Sorry, is your sound messed up? Oh, yes, the thrill of it all. So today we thought we would do a little thing on activism. There. How about that?
Nope.
Bill? Bill's nope. Got no sound. Huh. Well, we'll be doing Bill with sign language. Closed captioning. That's it. Nothing like radio with closed captioning. We thought we would talk about activism. And specifically for all the people who are having issues with marijuana infiltration in their community, I guess we'll call it infiltration, just because everybody's giving me hand signals. I apparently can't speak and read hand signals at the same time.
Aaron,
is everyone happy now?
Oh no, you're way too loud.
Everybody's not happy now?
No, we're way too loud. There we go. It's getting better.
Okay, well,
there.
You have no sound now.
No, I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's something wrong. So would you guys like to introduce yourselves? We've got Officer Joe and Kathy with us, and then we have several people on the phone that we will conference in here momentito. Yeah.
And if you can hear the sirens in the background, I've invited a couple of friends over today.
I wish you had told me that ahead of time.
No big deal.
I'll be right back.
I'm getting blown out by sound, guys. It's
Pull it off your ear.
Yeah, way too loud. Thank you. This is what happens when you have live radio, folks. And Liam, our engineer, is monitoring us. So now I can't hear anything. And there we go. Good.
Okay. Your needs are quickly becoming irrelevant.
And
Aaron, just to let you know, we are now all officially logged in. Our guests are on.
The miracle of technology.
They're texting me. We have four devices going, and all of your guests are here today.
Nice.
And these are the women of marijuana activism.
All right. So while you're on Man of Marijuana Activism,
yes.
Give people a little snapshot of your background a bit.
So most of the community knows that I'm a career peace officer, and that marijuana is near and dear to my heart. And while I understand marijuana is legal here in the state of California, it's still federally illegal. And I interface with our department on all the illegal marijuana that goes on in our community. And for people should understand that this week a study came out and shows that more marijuana is consumed by Americans than beer or chocolate. So it's already exceeded that use, and that's only legal marijuana, which is only accounts for about a quarter of the marijuana that's consumed in the United States. So three-quarters of the amount of marijuana being consumed in this country is illegal, and the legal market is dwarfed by that.
Wow.
Boo-hoo. None of this should be legal to begin with. My name's Kathy, and I've been in the prevention business for going on 12 years. Like Officer Joe, I've made it my mission to educate and make our leaders aware of the dangers of marijuana. I speak for our youth, because I feel like our youth are not getting the voices they need to lead a drug-free life. We are the marijuana people, and our leaders are shoving this drug down their throats, and we need to stand up as moms and grandmas and very concerned citizens and work on changing some of these ordinances and laws.
And Kathy, let me echo that before we bring on our other three guests, is that the amount of money that's now going into the coffers of politicians, it's all corrupting. And that includes local politicians here in Redding. And as our guests in Southern California today are going to speak to, they'll also talk about all that money that's going into politicians' pockets in Southern California, and also our guest today from Lassen.
Well, it's, and I guess I always kind of hate that expression, it's all going in their pockets, to make it sound like they're getting, like, at, like somehow they're getting checks under the table. What's happening the most is that it's going into the county and city budgets.
Right.
By way of grants and other things to pave the way for a takeover of this. And it looks like, hey, you guys are struggling, so if you just legalized some, you know, commercial growing or some retail space, you bring in all this tax money, and that would be great. And it's like,
isn't there a fair amount of campaign contributions?
And then there's the campaign stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all legal. I mean, they can donate money if they want.
Right.
It's just you should kind of know who's supporting the people that are making the rules in your community.
Right.
And you know what, Aaron? We should talk to Amy, because she's going to talk to us about Susanville, California, and what happened over there.
Let's talk to Amy. I actually put up bios for all the people if you want to see who we're chatting with at wethepeopleradio.us. And so Amy helped put together a grassroots group that informed and educated her community about what the approval of commercial marijuana outlets would unleash in her community. That voters in 2022 returned a 64% no vote. Amy credits dozens of dedicated individuals she worked with in this successful effort to take her community back and keep it out of the clutches of the marijuana people.
Way to go, Amy.
Way to go,
Added
Amy.
Added that. Okay, so from a boots on the ground standpoint, Amy, what would you tell people who maybe have this looming in their community?
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on. You know, one of the biggest things that I would say that to credit with the success of this grassroots campaign is to let everybody know exactly how it will affect them personally. People are busy with their lives, they have families, they have their own personal tragedies, and they're just very busy. We're all very busy people. And one of the things I credit is, of course, everybody just, you know, banding together, helping out people I didn't even know, just spreading the word of mouth. We had handouts, we had flyers, we went door to door. People were talking to Ring doorbells, just getting the message out there. Had it on YouTube, encouraged people to grab their popcorn, kick back, and see what exactly will happen in their community. That being said, videos. Showing the citizens exactly what could happen in their neighborhood, in their area, down from the church, down from tourist spots in our community, and it really woke people up. I don't think that people are really going to sit up and take notice until they realize how it will directly affect them. We just had dozens of people just, you know, going door to door, and you know, it had to do with manufacturing, distribution, and sales. It would have just been a broad spectrum of marijuana activity in this community. By the way, both the city and the county were actively involved in campaigning for the legalization of commercial marijuana in Lassen County and also in the city of Susanville. So we had quite the uphill battle educating both county and city residents as to what could happen, you know, in our community if this commercialization was allowed.
And Amy, in the case of Susanville, if I recall, for people that don't know, Susanville is a small community in northeastern California. It's high desert. It's where some of our big prisons were. They're currently closing. It's a depressed community, I would say. But Amy, didn't during the pandemic your political leaders there take advantage of the pandemic to try to ram through some marijuana protocols that would personally have benefited them, actually benefited the city council? I mean, financially. Am I correct on that?
Indeed, there were meetings. There was one citizen in particular that cried out on Facebook to please not address this during the COVID pandemic because everybody was too busy, you know, sheltering in place. But some officials went forward and pressed on with trying to get this shoved down our throats. Additionally, almost a year to this day, I was at a city council meeting where three councilmen basically ignored a room full of people who pled to please put this on the ballot, please put this measure on the ballot. And they shoved an ordinance right down our throat. They ignored everybody who pled with them to please put this on the ballot so we may have a voice. They went ahead and they legalized it. And we only had about a month from that date to hurry up, get it done, get it legally approved, get it submitted to the city and approved, and made the deadline with a lot of signatures over. So it was the recall measure that we had, which recalled that ordinance to allow the public to vote on it. And as was mentioned earlier, the public gave a resounding no to both at the ballot box, to both the city and the county, which they had done many other times before, you know, verbally. But this time it was a vote of the people on paper, bona fide, that no, over 60% in both the city and the county, resounding no to commercialization of the manufacture, distribution, sales of marijuana. And by the way, on Senate Bill 58, on another topic, because they're doing the same marijuana playbook, is the psychedelic mushrooms. Senator Scott Wiener is trying to legalize certain hallucinogenic substances using the same rationale as the marijuana people. And this is very dangerous stuff as well, and it's very frightening to our children and to our community. So just to let the listeners know to please pay attention to that Senate Bill 58, and I just encourage everybody to call their state representatives, their county representatives, to quash Senate Bill 58.
Isn't it true that your political leaders intended on turning your city and your county, their vision was that they were going to turn it into the leading place for cannabis-tourism in the United States?
You know, they were saying, oh, we're going to make this the hub. Literally, they said the hub of marijuana activity. Then people that spoke out and told them that that's what was said, then the other side was calling them liars when it was in print. And it was shown that they said that. They literally wanted this to be the hub of marijuana activity. They wanted it to be the wine valley of marijuana, Napa Valley of marijuana.
Isn't it interesting? Because in my investigations, we have a commercial grower here in the city of Redding that's a legal grower. However, our investigations reveal that he's connected to illegal grows in your community, a county away. And so I find it, this is something that I experience on a pretty regular basis, where you'll see a legal dispensary or a legal marijuana provider will then go out and use any source necessary to get their product. And that's also probably where a lot of our contaminated product comes into the system. So congratulations, Amy. I know that you were on the I remember that you were on the side of the road, that you were out there with signs, and you motivated the community, and you got some community groups behind you. So, and you got radio, which was very important.
Yes, and, Doug LaMalfa's office, you officer, Kathy, all of you were just instrumental in, you know, getting us some information and helping us to move forward as well, and I just thank you all so much for that. And another thing I want to mention, you know, the playbook that they're going by is to tell people, oh, this is a medicine to relieve your pain and your emotional problems. They're doing that with marijuana, and they're attempting to do that with mushrooms. And unfortunately, Oregon has, you know, it has given the green light to go ahead and do the mushrooms. But it's just very, very disconcerting, and I'm just very grateful that the people of Lassen County and the city of Susanville stepped up to the plate and voted this out. I'm extremely grateful to everybody who voted no.
It's like our society has been taken over by something mental. We have half the people going gluten free, and the rest of them are going to be taking magic mushrooms. It's like, what the
well,
what is wrong with this picture?
And I think as a society, we need to remember when the people say, well, it doesn't really affect me, so I don't really care. And I'm like, but it does. It totally does.
Or worse yet, they say, this is politics, and it's depressing. You know what? I don't find quality of life politics. I have never, ever been an activist in my life, and I don't like that label. I'm just a lady that cares that we have a decent place to live. I'm just a lady that cares that people that are around me are sober-minded and not going to hurt me, my family, my neighbors, people I worship with. I just happen to care. That's all. And I don't play games. I don't twist words. I use facts just like you all do. It's just something that we don't like recreational drugs. Yes, you are to be sober-minded. Yes, I understand there's alcohol out there. But it's what we do with those and how we treat others that truly matter.
I think it's important for our listeners to understand, Amy, before you took up this charge, you were not an activist. You didn't know anything about political activism. You didn't know how to organize.
There's always a thing, a catalyst that kind of moves us in that direction.
And you know what that was?
Hold that thought, Amy. Let's cliffhanger them. We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back. We have a little song for the thing that always gets us in trouble with this particular issue. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Can't go wrong with beer for my horses. All right. So, Amy, you were living your life, going about your own business, and then suddenly you were standing on the side of the road holding signs about commercial marijuana growing.
Well, what happened is I attended that meeting, and I was just shocked that the city council had ignored a room full of people. So I talked to another woman in the community, and I happened to learn that there were a lot of people that felt the same way I did. And this movement just grew. And like I said, people I didn't even know were collecting signatures to get this on the ballot for a referendum. And that was really quite the learning curve as well, because none of us had ever done anything like this before. And so it was just a movement that just grew despite great pushback from many of the proponents of this measure. We really got a lot of stuff hurled at us, but we just pressed on.
Amy, I know that. Thank you, first of all, for coming today. I know that you're working and your time is of essence. If you could do a summation, what do you think is the future? What do you think is coming back next year? Do you think they're going to come back at you again, your community, and try this all over again?
I did hear that, they wanted to, quote, craft a better ordinance. And I have heard that, they're not going to give up. And I just hope and pray that people will still pay attention. And if it comes back around again, then we would have to do the same thing again. Hopefully, we wouldn't have to do another referendum. Hopefully people would just go to the ballot box like they did and vote, and also more importantly, vote the people out that intend to shove these ordinances down our throat and shame us I've had a councilman sit up there and say, oh, you church-going people, and you're not compassionate, and you're not this, because they're twisting the truth and saying that, oh, my goodness, you don't have any compassion. Yes, we do. We have medical marijuana, and I get that people have Parkinson's. I get that people are suffering from cancer. I get that, and I applaud that they have a way to ease their pain and their symptoms. I get that. But what I don't get is when somebody is trying to twist, shoving pot down our throats for their personal gain, to pimp out our land and our resources and our water and our children for their personal gain. That is just wrong on every level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems to be the same. It's a really similar story in everybody's community. So thanks tons, Amy, for being with us, and you guys keep up the fight, because we know it never stops. They just keep coming back.
And we got your back,
thank
Amy.
You.
We got We're your here. Back, Amy. Oh, we'll be there.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. And I just, again, just encourage people to vote these people out. Show your citizens how it will directly affect them and their family. Take your videos. But thank you so much. Thank you very much, Kathy, Aaron, and Officer Doakes. Thank you so much for your help. We're just so grateful, and God bless you.
God bless you. Well,
great meeting you.
Take care.
Good to get involved in. You know, it's interesting, too, because it's not always the people that you think that are the proponents, and it's not always the, I mean, you would think it'd be, you know, it's drug dealers. It's not drug dealers. That's not who's promoting this, actually.
No.
And for the folks that are still confused about whether or not this is a medicine issue, I would direct you to wethepeopleradio.us and go to the tab that is marked pot. We've done a lot of shows about the fake medical side with this. And we have Dr. Finn on next week. I don't have his bio up, but... let's see, I can do that, though, in like 4 seconds, because I should promote that while we're at it. He is a guy that is the founder of the International Academy on Science and the Impact of Cannabis, and he is a doctor. So he graduated from the University of Texas, completed his residency in physical medicine and rehabilitation from the University of Utah, board certified in pain management since 1998, practicing medicine in Colorado Springs since 1994. So this is a guy who's all about pain management, and so you're going to hear the rest of that story.
And the scam of the 60-second marijuana card.
Exactly. So May 7th, we'll be talking to him. So for those of you that are conflicted about the medical aspect of that and maybe don't want to listen to the archives, although they're free, and they have no interruptions, and they're free to listen to. So we hope you'll make that up.
And I think I've said it before. The marijuana proponents always want to bring you to their side, and they always want to use medicine as the excuse. And to me, I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. But if we want to really make this a medicine, then let's get FDA approval. Let's get a dosage requirement, and that is not what they want.
No, they don't want that.
And as the PSAs we've heard in the midst of this show, no medicines are smoked. Oops. Awkward.
Well, and
when was the last time your doctor told you to take it home and smoke it?
Yeah, and what doctor tells you, especially the marijuana doctors, say, well, you should only be taking a milligram every 12 hours. And how do you know that's what you're getting?
That's a bite of a cookie, Kathy.
Yeah,
come on, everyone knows that.
And if it's not addicting, why is there a 2,500% increase of vaping marijuana on airplanes, which is actually having pilots bring the airplanes down because of the problems that it creates? The people then have violent tendencies, attitudes.
Can you vape on a plane?
No.
I was like, did something happen while I was sleeping?
Oh, no.
So what are people sneaking in the bathroom? Is this like cigarettes in the bathroom?
Yeah.
They are?
There's now thousands of FAA investigations that I have in my hand, and I will send you, Aaron, that was sent to me by Heidi, actually, and through Jay LeBlanc, through a Freedom of Information Act.
Well, we'll chat with her about that
here
in a few minutes. Oh, well, I'm a knucklehead. So we're moving to Carolyn this time, Carolyn Petty. She has over 25 years of executive financial and management experience, served as a member and the mayor of the Hermosa Beach City Council from 2013 to 2017. Always illuminating when you take on those kinds of roles. She has partnered with Heidi Swan that we will meet here in a little bit. And Carolyn helped lead the opposition campaign to Measure M, which would have overturned the ban on cannabis dispensaries in Hermosa Beach, California. It was resoundingly defeated with 72% of the electorate voting no. That's the thing, when they beat these measures, it's not 51%.
No.
I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah,
well,
not by a little bit.
It's not like a squeaker.
And amazing, in a beach community, which you'd think would be uber liberal in Southern California.
She advised and assisted Manhattan Beach residents who opposed Measure MB, which would also have overturned the ban on cannabis dispensaries in Manhattan Beach. I'm assuming that's the MB part. That measure was also defeated. Guess the percent.
80.
77.
Oh, there you go.
Pretty good. They all voted no. So she's also served on numerous boards, including the Hermosa Beach Education Foundation, the Chamber of Commerce, Harbor Interfaith Services, and the League of California Cities. So, welcome aboard, Carolyn.
Thank you for having me.
So, was this the first activisting thing that you did, or were you activisting before?
It's so funny because I kind of feel the same way as Amy, that I don't consider myself to be an activist. I care about my community. I care about the people who live here. And that really was my motivation. I always kind of felt that activism has kind of some negative connotations.
That's only if you're not good at it.
Yeah, I guess. But I'm like Amy. I care about my community. I care about the people who live here. And that's what really drove me. And then also it's really important to have a partner in all of this. And having the partner in Heidi was really critical. It's really hard to do things like this alone.
Don't you feel like you're an educator as much as an activist?
Well, I would say that Heidi, this is why we're such a great team, Heidi played the role of educator on the product itself, the harms of the product itself. But what I was able to bring to the discussion was how to run a campaign.
Yep.
Because I ran a campaign when I was an elected official. I understand land use, and some of those things are important. So there's kind of many aspects of a political campaign. It's the knowledge, it's the experience, and then it's knowing what you're fighting.
Right. So your particular issue down there, what kind of kicked that into gear for people? Like how far did they get before you went after them? Maybe that's what I want to ask.
So the first question is, what kicked it into gear is always an interesting one. Just like your previous conversation with Amy, something's going on. City staff, elected officials, one day all suddenly seem to be on board. And we'll never know what was happening behind the scenes, even though we had a sense, because there were definitely meetings going on. And that's the thing, is that these cannabis operators are very smooth operators, I guess you could say. They understand that if they can meet with city staff and they can talk about the financial benefits of having marijuana in your town, then staff talks to the city manager talks to the council members. They present this as a way to make lots of money with minimal downside, and then the whole thing kind of takes on a life of its own. And I think that's what really started it. Now, we were fortunate because our city council, I believe, felt that if they had had the nerve to just pass an ordinance, then the community would have been enraged, and they didn't have the nerve to do that. But I think also, Heidi and I started attending meetings, and we were very vocal. I'm pretty, I guess you could say I'm a bull in a china shop. And so I don't think they dared to do what they did in Susanville, because our community wouldn't have accepted that.
You know what I found, Carolyn? I find that city managers and city attorneys normally are the people that proposed marijuana, and they've been inculcated by the marijuana industry. Obviously, the same, exactly what you said, that money, here is the golden panacea of money for our community. And then what I found, and it's happened here in Northern California, is once they get marijuana in their community and it becomes a disaster, and it usually always does, and I'm going to say usually, there may be some successful cities that embrace marijuana, but I think not based upon all evidence, then the city manager and the city attorney both retire and leave, and they move out of state, which has happened here in this, happened up here in Redding. That's normally what we see and how it gets inculcated into a community. And then it's assigned to staff, and staff gets behind it. In Shasta County, we actually interfaced with staff here, and they didn't want to speak to us at all. They didn't want to talk to prevention. They didn't want to hear any of the evil, wicked, mean, nasty stuff that goes on with marijuana in a community and what it does to the residents. All they wanted to do is how can we successfully bring this into the community and make money? And it was a disaster. And I think, is that what you experienced?
Well, this is a problem, and I'm glad you're bringing this up. I brought this up in another discussion we had. Once a lease has been signed with a cannabis operator because the city has changed the zoning to allow cannabis, it becomes a vested right. Vested rights are nearly impossible to undo. A vested right, a property right, runs with the land. And Grant, I'm going to give a disclaimer. I'm not a lawyer. But a vested property right runs with the land. So let's say a city, like in that scenario just described, let's say a city decides that they want to modify their zoning, they want to allow cannabis dispensaries, and then a property owner signs a lease with a cannabis company. And let's say subsequent to that, the city, the people who live in the city decide this is not good for us, we don't want it anymore, let's change the zoning, let's disallow dispensaries. The problem is that lease that has been signed does not go away. They will stay there. They're not leaving. All you can do is prevent more from opening. Now, let's say, again, disclaimer, I'm not an attorney. Let's say the property owner then decides he doesn't want a dispensary there anymore and he changes it to a restaurant. Then the vested right's gone. But once they're in, you're probably never going to get them out. And that's the scary thing for people and something that's really important for people to understand. You cannot really undo it.
So there's no just change the ordinance and then whoosh, they all get wiped out,
right?
Especially
well, that's why it's so important to realize. It's a vested right.
Yeah, yeah. Open the door.
That's what happened here.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Shoot. We'll be right back with Carolyn and Kathy and Officer Joe and Bill and I, and you can find us at We the People Radio
and Heidi.us.
We haven't met Heidi yet.
Okay. This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. My power's turned up. Starting right now, I'll be strong. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I've still got a lot of fight.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Did you know that the marketing of marijuana is a misogynistic and racist activity? That's right. Most marijuana corporations are owned and controlled by rich, fat cat white corporate types, and most dispensaries are placed into depressed communities of color. These communities can least afford the chains of drug addiction and corporate greed. For more information about marijuana, please visit sources like ALM, Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, at www.aalm.info. And remember, let's be careful out there.
But I still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
Isn't that just about the long and the short of it? All right. Sorry, Carolyn. Back to you. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Did we lose you?
Yes, Carolyn goes, oh my gosh.
Carolyn, are you still in there?
I'm here.
All right, so
we were talking about how hard it is to get rid of it once it gets
and
in.
She has probably stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, but she's not a lawyer. Got that all squared away.
Right, right. And I think this is one of those areas that until it's litigated, I don't know. But who's gonna fight it? So a property owner makes a lot of money, let's say, because he has a lease with a cannabis operator. A city changes their mind, decides they don't want them anymore. That property owner, there's a lot of value in that lease. And if somebody wants to litigate it, good luck on that one. A group of residents are going to start paying for lawyers to take away that property right? I see it being a very unlikely scenario to undo it. Now, like I said before we went to break, you can prevent more from opening. But then if you really think about it, that one operator is going to become even more valuable because he'll be the only act in town. Very dangerous situation.
Yeah, he'll probably help you block the other guys from opening, actually.
Really good point.
Carol, did you find that you had to become, honestly, you had to become the default expert because you had to be accurate in 100% of what you say, but that the cannabis entrepreneurs in your town could say wild things and make wild predictions, and they never seem to ever be checked for accuracy. Is that something you found in your pursuit?
So that's a really good question. I'm very aligned with Amy. So it's kind of like this, first of all. People care about what affects them personally. And then second of all, you got to keep it simple. Because initially, we were trying to kind of go down the rabbit hole of providing information. And then in the end, if you're going to run a political campaign on anything, if you try to overcomplicate it, you're going to lose people. You got to have a clear message. You got to have an easy message. It's got to be kind of catchy. And leave it at that.
So how did you bring it out as a kitchen table?
About crime.
How did you make it a kitchen table issue? How did you bring it to the
crime?
Crime. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Just like weed.
Crime. It's like I said, you can kind of go down the rabbit hole, but you say crime, and everybody knows what crime is.
Yeah. Well,
nobody wants it in their neighborhood.
And up here, it's water and environment.
Right.
Carol, have you experienced
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you experienced in your community in Southern California the now we were told that once a dispensary opens it's all the crime's going to go down, and now here we're experiencing in Northern California the armed gangs that are taking over marijuana dispensaries and conducting burglaries at night and putting our police officers at risk. Are you seeing any of that go on in Southern California too?
In the beach communities where we are, we kind of are in that little bubble. And because the city's fought it, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, because we fought it, we haven't really experienced that. We are definitely in our little island, fortunately, knock on wood. I think there's issues in Los Angeles, but I can't really speak to it because we haven't been affected because we've kept it away.
Well, it's a requirement to have a surfboard when you enter. So that no AK-47. You can only have your surfboard.
Do you have ordinances on your beaches for smoking?
Yes, we have an ordinance. Smoking is prohibited all over town, by the way. It's not just on the beach. It's kind of silly. So smoking is prohibited. That's why it's ironic when a council member would actually support marijuana when they don't support tobacco. But that's a whole other conversation.
Right. Right. Can they use the vaping stuff? I mean, it's kind of not smoking, but it is smoking.
I don't believe the ordinance changed since it was put into effect about 2016, I think, is when it was put into effect. Sorry. I don't know if it's modified to include vaping. I honestly don't know. But the reality is this. I mean, you can ban smoking in your town. The police officers have better things to do than chase
right.
somebody
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they kind of should.
Yeah.
Not me.
You're good to bust the smokers. You got time for that?
Yeah. If they're vaping in public and they're being stupid and affecting other people's free and clean air, they're on my radar.
I know.
Well, I've been known to go into a Starbucks and tap someone on the shoulder and point to the sign that says "No smoking in here," and ask them to leave. I don't have a problem with that.
You're Officer Kathy, then.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I had no idea.
Yeah. Carolyn, what about the youth in your community? Do you know anything about drug education in your community? And is marijuana on the list of drug education? Because we find a lot of the schools today, you know, they're not really hardcore against marijuana because of liberal educators in the end.
Well, and it's legal, you know.
Teachers, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I that's a really good question for Heidi, and I know she's going to come on soon. But one thing I will say is that when this was being discussed in our town, our school disturbingly did not take a position on it. And
exactly.
I find that highly disturbing that
exactly.
they would not take a position that it was bad for youth. And additionally, we have a health district in our town that is funded by the taxpayers. They took a barely negative mm-hmm. position on it. They just didn't want to even barely get involved when they're a health district. And so, no, it's very disappointing when entities that should care don't have the, I don't know, why should it be called courage to
I'm assuming you pressed them on that. What exactly was the, what was the cover story on why they weren't weighing
in? The school's cover story was, this is political.
Yep.
Even though they could have taken a position, but they used that as their cover story. And then I believe the cover story for the health district, that's kind of a little longer kind of conversation. They won't really explain we can surmise, but they won't really explain why. And I think it was, so I won't even say. They just wouldn't do it. Really.
Wow. So no help there. And now, were you
correct
from a just a timeline standpoint? Were you on City Council when these things were coming up, or were you was this at the same time, or was this after you were already on the council?
I was on the City Council actually from 2013 to 2017, and I think it was 2016 that we imposed the ban, because after Proposition 64, all the cities had the opportunity at that time to ban it,
right.
And we immediately banned it. And I will tell you, nobody had an issue with it for years and years and years until one of the operators decided, I guess 2 years ago now, one of the operators decided he wanted to infiltrate the entire South Bay. But prior to that, nobody really ever had an issue with it.
So now, do you have people on your city council that are friendly with all this?
For sure, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so...
are they taking money from
the
industry?
What was the hook for them? Were they kind of already friendly with it before? They just don't want to rock the boat, or?
You know what? I have to look. So there was an election last year. I'd have to look and see if they donated to somebody who won re-election. I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. There were other people who ran. You know, I don't know, because you can pull up their forms. You know, they have to declare
sure.
who gave the money. But the reality is this. The maximum somebody can donate to a political campaign in our town is $250. And honestly, you know, people aren't going to get on board with $250.
No, that's kind of great, actually. We're thinking it's bigger than that. No, $250, that isn't going to typically sway anybody.
They get on board, not for the $250, because really nobody running for city council in our town cares about $250. They get on board because the industry charms them and persuades them that this is a great thing and persuades them that there's no harms. I think that's why they get
and
on
that
board.
It's going to bring income to the city and business.
Right.
And
we're all going to benefit.
And no harm.
Yeah.
And no harm.
And no harm.
No harms.
Do they still play the medical angle, or is that pretty much gone now that it's being legalized everywhere?
Oh, gosh. They tried various, you know, they were coming up with various reasons why it was good for our community. You know, they were just kind of, you know, I don't know. It's really hard for me to say, because we were so focused on our campaign and they just became white noise to us. Mm. Now, one thing they did do, though, I will say, is that they spent so much money on that campaign, they were flooding our mailboxes with flyers. And the flyers were about just how it was a good thing for our community, but it was just the amount of money they spent and how much, how desperately they wanted to get to our community was quite astonishing. I mean, they spent almost $250,000, and we spent $7,000.
Wow.
They would spend that much money in a town that is 1.4 miles. That's how big our town is.
And how many people live there? I was just wondering about that. What's your population?
Just under 20,000. So maybe 19,500 at this point.
And they spent how much?
$225,000 just in our town. By the way, they spent that much, if not more, in Manhattan Beach.
Oh my God!
And then Redondo Beach.
Are those bigger places?
Manhattan Beach is bigger. Redondo Beach is even bigger. Yeah. So the amount of money that they were willing to spend is, like I said, astonishing. It just goes to show how much money they have.
Yeah. Well, how much money they have, and how much they plan to make, and how much skin is in the game, because nobody spends that kind of money. I mean, if you wanted to get Domino's Pizza into your town, I mean, there's no way Domino's Pizza is spending $250,000 to flood the market.
And we know from historic studies, not contemporary, not 2022, but back in 2017, studies were done showing that for every dollar brought in by a city or a community, $4.50 in hidden costs were being spent by that community through higher hospitalization rates, lower worker productivity, higher workmen's compensation, and other actual damages that could be assessed directly to having marijuana in the community.
So a dollar of marijuana revenue,
yes,
in the community,
yes.
Tax revenue?
Yes.
Okay.
The city or
yeah,
the
cost.
Yeah, go ahead,
this
Carol.
This is the hard thing with that, though, is that if you look at a city budget, what happens to people personally does not affect the city budget. And
right.
that's kind of
right.
a fundamental problem,
right.
is that the only thing you could point to that would hurt the city budget is more police force, and then sometimes you even have police officers who are good with that, or the union. Maybe not the officers of the union. They'd love to have more money to go around, more police to be hired, because there's more money. And so there are some of them that would be fine with that. But all those things you rattled off affects people personally, but this. So the city gets all the benefit and the residents take all the harm.
Right. Yeah. And right. it's not always adequately quantified because you can't, how do you, lost productivity at work, right? How do you really measure that? Kids that don't do well in school, that could be for a variety of reasons, pretty hard to pin. But it's kind of interesting that they seem to run, you know, hand in hand.
From all the HIDA reports from Colorado and California's HIDA report, which is the High Intensity Drug Activity report, it shows that workers who use marijuana regularly have higher workman's compensation, higher sick time, more employee theft, more on-the-job injuries, and are less productive. And those aren't my words. Those are the official studies from the state of California and the state of Colorado.
I'd be kind of curious. You know, we're talking about this whole legalization. What are the graduation rates? How can we compare graduation rates prior to legalization to now? Are we seeing more kids graduate high school? Well, I would be kind of curious.
And what kind of jobs are they obtaining?
Yeah.
Are they still living in mommy's daddy's basement at 25 years old, which we think we experienced when we went to a continuation school here,
right.
and we saw the kids in class, the poor teacher, the kids were high in class. And they were 18 years old. And I thought, I told a bunch of them, I said, you're not going to get a job next year. Who's going to hire you? Bill's not going to hire you at the dealer. You're going to need to get a license that's going to have maybe a DOT test to be able to drive a commercial truck. And an employer doesn't want you because you're not going to be a reliable employee.
Well, the whole drug test thing is, I think, big with everybody. I mean, if you're a drug-free workplace, before you even get on the payroll, you have to pass a drug test, and a lot of people go through the process. They get to that point, and then they drop out.
Right.
Because they know they're not going to pass.
They don't even try.
No, they don't even try.
Yeah.
They know it's
they don't
it's
even stay work. Clean long enough to even go through it.
Yep. When I taught emergency medicine here, and our students had to go through a drug test to be able to take the class, the leading drug that they were bumped out for was marijuana. So can you imagine wanting to go into medicine, maybe to go on to be a nurse or a doctor, and you can't pass a drug test with marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're using it.
And I just found out recently also that, you know, they have these kits that you can, if you know you're going to get drug tested, you can drink the magic flu or whatever. And it masks. Well, the problem with that is now is a lot of employers, when you take that product, yeah, it does mask it, but your lab results come back undefined or
right.
Whatever, and that's the same as a fail. You have to wait 6 months and take the test again. So, yeah, it masks the marijuana, but it
doesn't clear it.
It's an unspecified result. And so once it comes back unspecified, then you failed, basically. You don't get hired. They put you on hold for 6 months.
Well,
so it's something to think about.
Nothing good's going to come from all this. We have to escape. We've got the news coming, and then we're going to come back. We're going to come back with Heidi, and we're going to come back with Carolyn.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
On April 30th, 2023. Just in case we replay this, which I'm sure we will. Good information. So, how about sponsorship, Bill? I think it's... Okay, hold on. I'm going to be like... it's not the amazing Kreskin. Who was the guy who used to... You know, Johnny Carson used to hold the paper to his forehead?
That's right. What was his name?
Yeah, I forgot his name. Karnak.
Karnak.
He was Karnak. Okay, yeah. Karnak thinks this might be about tractors.
Tractors.
Mm.
That's amazing, Aaron. I can't believe you pulled that off. Our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape has everything you need for a John Deere, or if you have another brand tractor, they're pretty good at getting parts and doing service on those as well. So go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Right, two doors south of Phil's Propeller. So go up and check them out. They got a great inventory right now. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And I do have to give the viewers a visual of what Bill is dressed in today. He's wearing John Deere clothing. He has a green top on with the John Deere logo. And he has knickers on. Wow. Actual knickers, right? And he's got one of those golf hats. You know those golf hats you see all the guys wear? They're like the old-fashioned hot rodders hats.
That's I really wish you hadn't done that. It really sounded like, hi, my name's Bill. I'm a he, him, and I'm wearing knickers with a green shirt.
Oh, my God.
I love radio. We can lie about anything as long as, you know, they can't see it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah.
You're fired. Officer Joe's fired again. Oh, dear. All right, so back to Carolyn. So we're talking about activism in the kind of the pushback on this, what do we call it, the tidal wave of
marijuana. We are not going to call it activism. We're going to call it realism.
Yeah, but we like activism. Activism's good. You know, good guys are active, right? Because the choice of not being active is being passive. And that's what's happening in a lot of cases. I mean, that's what we're hearing about our health departments, our schools, our superintendents, a lot of our neighbors.
Well, and I think
it doesn't affect me. I'm not going to get involved, blah,
well,
blah, blah.
And the schools, I really believe they feel like we shouldn't go there because then we'd have to admit there's a problem. And we don't want to admit that there's a problem.
So it's better not to talk about it?
Yeah.
Oh, huh. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, I get that with the state.
Or that we're encouraging it amongst our youth.
Oh, well, states that have legalized this and embraced this as a, you know, fake revenue source that they think is going to save them, they can't admit there's a problem because if they admit it's unleashing a crime wave or any of that, well, that blows their whole narrative
Well, look at California.
But I would think in a local community, you'd think you'd be able to get some buy-in from people who, especially when their job involves the youth of our community.
And why do business owners, when they talk about having a cannabis store next door, the business owners that are around that going like, yeah, I don't want that next to me because I don't want my customers dealing with that. You go to the dispensaries here in Redding, you sit outside on the street, and you literally watch the driving under the influence drivers drive out of there every time you sit there. When I go and I sit and I do some surveillance on them, that's what I see. I see drunk drivers going out of there all the time.
Drugged.
Well, yeah, drugged and drunk. They use both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Remember,
and property values go down. Let's not forget property values, because now the studies are showing that when you put a dispensary in a community, that Kathy, I think it's 1.5 to like 2 miles around that. They can draw a circle around that, and they can show that it depresses the values because people don't want to move in that community because of all the things that come from that. People, you know, walking down the street.
I did not know that. That makes perfect sense.
Look at the downtown, our downtown area. It's protected. You cannot put a pot shop in the downtown area.
Really?
Yep. They have their own bubble.
Oh, that's right. They do have their own thing. Huh. Well, that's kind of illuminating.
And there used to be.
So, so Carolyn, your vantage point from Southern California is pretty interesting, because I think most people would think beach community, that would probably be a popular thing. Have you been able to keep that out of your community, like, still? Is it still not a factor?
Well, our hope is that because the vote was so clearly a no, whatever it was, it ended up at 72, or I'd have to look at the number, that hopefully they got the message. And we're just so small. We've got one main street kind of that runs through our town. So hopefully not, but it's just like Amy said, if they come back, we're coming back. And I think our city council doesn't want me and Heidi sitting in those meetings until 1 o'clock in the morning giving them the stink eye. So maybe we intimidated them enough where they just don't want to
wait you out. They're like, somebody offer this lady a job or something, you know, in some other community. Let's get her to move.
Do not piss off a mom. The mad moms of SoCal. Do not make them angry.
Yeah. Well, so that being said, we should let Heidi join you, since you guys have been partners in crime. If you want to hang with Heidi, you can all be on at the same time. It shouldn't mess up our signal or anything. We might talk over each other a teeny bit, but we'll get over it. So Heidi Swan, I've got a little bio on her too. Actually, hers is kind of long. I won't read the whole thing, but
you don't have to read it all.
I was already having, I had my my editor eyes on, and I was going to tell people too. We did a show with you previous, so we did a couple hours with you at an earlier date, but you were on Dr. Phil back in 2022 and 2023 with an episode about marijuana legalization. So you've kind of hit the big time. Like, it was probably because of our show, actually. It was probably after you were on here. You've been on Fox and NBCLA and discussing the work to educate the public about mental health harms in marijuana. She believes it's crucial to the public that they understand the link between THC and mental illness, and is especially passionate about today's high concentrates of THC and the impact on our homeless crisis. And I had something else that I saw later in your bio, but I'll find it and bring it up later. But you've been active in this for how long now?
I published the book in 2017, A Night in Jail, and in 2017 I hadn't heard of high concentrate marijuana products. I'll never forget when somebody said it to me. They said, "Oh yeah, well this will be really important to get this book out with these highly concentrated products." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And the friend said, "Oh, well, you haven't heard? Oh, they make these products that are several times, you know, 90% THC, 80% THC. I was like, "What? Are you serious?" I mean, I couldn't believe it. So A Night in Jail was written about the old-fashioned marijuana, because I thought that's the marijuana we were talking about today when we were talking about legalization today. I thought it was the same old pot, you know, the pot that that gave me psychosis, that gave my brother schizophrenia, we think, you know. And so I thought we were warning the public about that. And so when I found out about the high concentrated products, I was like, it really propelled me forward, because at that point I was just finishing the book. It was exhausting writing it and then publishing it and doing all the things that you need to do to get it out. It's a lot of work, and I was really tired, but this really galvanized me because I knew how much more important it would be to get this out into the public and to get the message out in any way that I could. And so since 2017, and that's when I first reached out to Mom Strong, which is from California, as you know, in Ventura County, and they embraced me and put my work out and published articles on their site that I wrote. And so that was really great. And as we were talking, Aaron and Bill and Cam and Kathy, thank you all for having me on again, because it was when I was on your show that I was first introduced to Carolyn Petty. And I remember telling Carolyn, saying, hey, I'm actually going to be on the radio on Sunday. And she was like, oh, that's cool. And we hadn't met yet, actually. We were just, you know, still texting back and forth. And then we had our first meeting, and I was able to talk to her about what was coming through our city. And she hadn't been aware of it at that time. So I've been working on this for a while, and I was just so freaked out about the cannabis industry coming to the South Bay, because they hit four cities pretty much all at the same time, and we're all right next to each other, and we're all just south of the Los Angeles airport. So they hit El Segundo, Manhattan, Hermosa, Redondo, and they blanketed us, and I just knew what a machine they were, and that I didn't know of any activists or advocates in the South Bay. None. And I was like, who's going to fight these people? Who's going to fight this rich industry? And I was like, me? Big marijuana? I was overwhelmed. I mean, it was really super, super, super stressful. And I got on Dr. Phil because of our friends, because of the people we know, like Officer Joe and Americans Against the Legalization of Marijuana. That's how, because somebody called me up, one of our friends, Scott Chipman, who is one of the founders of Americans Against the Legalization of Marijuana. He was invited as a guest on the show, and he said, hey, they need somebody in the studio audience who's really passionate on this interest. On this issue, do you want to do it? And I was like, yes, I do. I do want to be on Dr. Phil in the audience. And that's how I got on. So,
I was thinking, we talked to you not very long ago, but I just checked. It was October of 2021. Oh, my gosh. That was a long time ago. We've been obsessing on this topic for quite some time.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me on. And we talked all about A Night in Jail, the book that I wrote with my brother. And I am really concerned about homelessness. And that's why I wrote the book in the first place, is because I couldn't bear to see these people suffering with homelessness, especially in California and Washington State, where I'm from, and Oregon. And if marijuana is, as you've heard many times on this show, especially youth marijuana use increases the risk for psychosis, and continued use can increase the risk for schizophrenia, the long-term mental illness. And if we want to prevent homelessness, we have to prevent addiction in any way we can. We have to prevent mental illness if we can, in any way we can. We have to be speaking about what these drugs do to our brains, especially the brains of our youth. I mean, it is astounding to me, and I understand it. There is a lot of money behind legalizing drugs, but we are literally feeding them our youth. I can't believe that we're not telling people what can happen to their brains. Now, it doesn't happen to everyone. the marijuana and mental illness psychosis and schizophrenia. There are a certain number of us, a certain percentage of us, it's like a little over 10% of the population that's predisposed to mental illness. That's me and my brother. And a little marijuana can trigger a psychotic episode. Most people would not be affected by that small amount of marijuana. But with today's high-potency products, the things that people are vaping, the products that people are dabbing, those are causing psychosis in people who have no predisposition to mental illness, like Laura Stack, who you had on just a month or so ago. They didn't have any predisposition to mental illness in their family, and yet her son Johnny became addicted and went psychotic and died by suicide. I mean, it's just, and she was on Dr. Phil as well. That's what the show was centered around, her story and the increased risk to suicide.
Well, and the interesting thing I think that we have to look at when we talk about youth development and their brains is when you say, you know, less than 10% of the population has the psychosis or is affected by it, but that 10% can cause the greatest damage. We look at these school shootings and these random acts of violence that are just
Maybe not as random as
And how can we not look at this and look at what we're doing to our kids?
Well, tell me this, Heidi. Did you become involved in this issue? I don't want to assume, but I'm assuming you became involved in this issue because of your brother.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Carolyn, did you become involved in this because of interaction with someone in your world or just the issue in general, just out of curiosity?
Just because I care about my community.
Okay.
I didn't think this was good for our community.
Can
I interject something, Erin, here? So as Carolyn said, she was on the city council when California voted to legalize marijuana, and then she was on the city council that voted to ban it in our community. And I was preparing for a different presentation that Carolyn and I gave just a couple days ago where we were talking about this, and I looked up, I did a search, and I found a quote from 2017 from our local paper that quoted Carolyn Petty. And Carolyn said that legal marijuana shops would be a magnet for crime. And she knew that in 2017. And that really is what ended up being, as she said earlier, the message of our campaign. It was what really resonated with folks. So she knew it in 2017, and we emphasized it again in the campaign against them. And there is no data to show that it's safe for a community, that it doesn't increase crime. All the data shows that it does, and it increases youth use, and it increases crime. And so there is plenty of it to go around. So if anybody is facing this in their own community, talk about crime, because it sure as heck increases. And we did a lot of research on it. And I'd like to send people to nopotshops.com. And there is a whole bunch of research there about the harms to a community. And it, like Officer Joe said, increase in hospitalization, in emergency room visits, increase in youth use, and increase in pot shop crimes. And so we just had, actually, in Manhattan Beach, there is a jewelry store that was...
Hold that thought, and we'll come back with that. We have to take a really quick break, but the crime part of it, and a lot of people are not very conversant in that, so I think this is really important that we give them the tools so they can utilize that as a pushback. We will be right back.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Did you know that the marketing of marijuana is a misogynistic and racist activity? That's right. Most marijuana corporations are owned and controlled by rich, fat cat white corporate types, and most dispensaries are placed into depressed communities of color. These communities can least afford the chains of drug addiction and corporate greed. For more information about marijuana, please visit sources like ALM, Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, at www.aalm.info. And remember, let's be careful out there. Mama always told me that I should play nice, but she didn't know you, and she gave me that advice. Oh, yeah, I'm through with you. You're one bridge I'd like to burn. Scatter the ashes, smash the urn. I'm through with you, la-di-da. I don't want to be your just for fun. Don't want to be under your thumb. All I want to be is done. All I want to be is done.
Yeah, that's the part where we never have to do shows about this anymore because everyone figured it out.
Yeah.
That's the dream song.
Yeah, that's right around the corner.
In our imaginary world, we'll be done. We could talk about other things, huh? Like, I don't know, going on vacation, being happy, hanging out with our families. Yeah, all that. So in the meantime, we're going to talk more about marijuana. But what I was curious about with the crime, both of you, because you both mentioned crime as the kind of the primary driver. Okay, so you live in a town. You really don't know a whole lot about crime. You don't work in the industry of any of this. You really have no personal experience with it. You think it's wrong. You don't know anybody else who really is all that passionate about it. You want to go to city council and speak up. And you're thinking, I go do that, I'm getting eviscerated. And I think that's what keeps people from speaking out. Mm-hmm. I think that silences people. So if you had somebody brand new who didn't live in your town, you couldn't go help them. I don't know which of you wants to go first, but what would be your advice to them to how to kind of get on the on-ramp of the anti-marijuana freeway?
I'll just jump in. Like I said, have them go to nopotshops.com. The website exists, and it has information about the harms to a community
with legal marijuana.
And so, and then we give 10 reasons for why it's harmful to a community, and one of them is the increase in crime. And on the increase in crime page, there is a whole bunch of data that comes from Smart Approaches to Marijuana, One Chance to Grow Up, Americans Against Legalization of Marijuana. Just I sourced all the data that was out there and kind of threw it in there. And one of the other things that I know that you've talked about on this show is impaired driving. And impaired driving is a crime. And so that falls under this category as well. And so, and additionally, as Dr. Phil Drum has described, you know, marijuana-impaired drivers are more likely to kill pedestrians, bicyclists, joggers. And we are a walking, biking community. People are always heading out down to the beach with their kids in strollers, toddlers walking to school. And to know, to have a pot shop in town and have impaired drivers plowing through our tiny, dense community would be really hazardous. We already have impaired drivers in our community, but it would just get worse. And so those are just some of them. And then, so I was telling you about pot shop crimes, smash and grabs. Those are unique to the marijuana industry. Now, we have a jewelry shop in Manhattan Beach, the city just north of us, that had a smash and grab recently, and then they were hit again. And so I can compare it to that and say, look, you want to invite a smash and grab opportunity into our community? And one of our city council people who I spoke with individually about this before it really everything really got going, and I said, what about smash and grabs? He said, oh, I think, you know, the increase in tax will cover any extra cost in crime. And I was like, are you serious?
Kathy's head just exploded.
People die at smash and grabs. People, they kill the security guards. They kill the workers.
Yeah.
They drive away, and they're, in, you know, who are they going to kill as they're driving away? We've got kids on electric bikes all over our community. I couldn't believe that he said that.
And so that is one thing that you can avoid in your town if you don't have legal retail. And, yeah, they've been hit again and again in Northern California, in Washington State, in Oregon. And then we beat the drum so hard here in Hermosa Beach about it that, and I'll give a lot of credit to our city council, they ordered an independent report on crime and the other impacts. And the report said that youth use would go up and that nuisance-related crime would go up. That's what the data shows. And that our city, our police department wasn't equipped to handle the extra crime. Mm. And that was really helpful to us in our campaign. And I honestly, I have not heard of any other city council in our country, and I'm connected with people nationally, and I haven't heard of any other city council that had ordered an independent report like this on this topic. And so I just have to give a big kudos to them for doing so.
Nice.
So rather one thing, if I could just add one thing,
please,
because
do.
You were talking about, you were asking the question about people being afraid to go to city council meetings. We actually found a group of people, and we focused, because you need to build a team if you want to fight a ballot measure. Mm-hmm. And we found people who lived in close proximity to Pacific Coast Highway, which is the area that would have been zoned. And so we literally, Heidi and I and a few other people, literally made up flyers saying, this is coming your way, get involved. And we put up a zoning map, and we literally stapled it to the telephone poles, put it on doorsteps of people's houses, saying, this is coming your way, and then asked people to help us. And that's how we were able to form a team.
Educate, educate, educate.
Yep. Throw the hook out. And the other thing is, too, I think once people see that there are other people like them that are interested, that maybe are not big experts, they're just people who care, then it might look a little more doable.
Well, I believe in every community, there is a silent majority. I mean, they are people that do care, but they're intimidated and they're afraid to speak out. But they will back you, but they won't come forward and back you.
No, I think you're right. I think there's a lot more people out there than we all realize,
right,
that just, like you say, either don't want to be intimidated, don't want to, you know, put their name out there, mm-hmm, or afraid, don't know how to get involved.
Right. Well, the thing I hear a lot is that they don't have the information. They feel like they're not experts, and that, you know, one question and their tent will fold. And Carolyn, on your city council, were the people on your city council very well versed in this issue, or did they become, I mean, like, if somebody would have come in, like, let's say you had folks on your city council at the time who were in favor, were they really up to speed on the issue at that time, or did that come later?
I think they got their education from their meetings with cannabis players, people in the industry.
Yeah,
and it's just,
of course,
like Heidi was just saying, you know, to think that she had a conversation with the council member and that was his response to her. So the answer is no, I don't believe they had information. And I think that when that report came back, and like Heidi said, it was great they did that report and city manager commissioned the report. I don't know if they expected what they got with that report.
I know that when I first met Heidi, Aaron, I showed her, I said, look, this is where your marijuana is going to come from, because it's a city, right? They're not growing marijuana on the beach there. And so I said, watch the marijuana, yeah, that's coming out of Northern California and see what's on it. And that's what's going to be in your dispensaries. It will flow into there. And, Heidi talked to me, and she had me appear in front of their city council by Zoom. And thank you, Heidi, for allowing us to do that. We've gotten a lot better since then, haven't we? We're not putting together amateur productions anymore. We're now the experts, and these cities are depending on voices like ours to come and give them the information, because the experts in the industry, so-called experts, they're not going to show any of the harms. They're only going to show
dollars.
Yeah.
And the linkage, I guess, between people around the country in this fight is really pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, the odds of a community being able to find somebody to come and help them, or even get on a conference call with them and give them pointers and tips, that's pretty readily available.
Right.
And we've watched as it's marched across the United States, and we're getting a lot of people from the East Coast now, and I know Heidi talks to them, and I'm sure Carol does too, that go like, well, how can this happen? This can't happen in our community. And we go, oh, it absolutely will happen in your community, and this is what will happen unless you use our use a playbook of people that have been down this road before. And Heidi, what was it like when you and Carolyn, I mean, literally take us back to your first day. What was it like when you went in front of the city council the first time for you? Because, you know, Carolyn had been a politician, and that's no slam on you, Carolyn. We're happy to have you be a politician. Matter of fact, I want you to come to Reading. We want you to run for mayor of Reading.
We want to elect you.
But what was it like, Heidi? Here you are, a mom, and, you know, you're all of a sudden you're stepping in front of a city council going like, yeah, this is an issue. What was it like?
First of all, I want to thank you because we had a cannabis advisory group that was formed. Our city manager appointed people to it, and I was appointed, and I was so grateful for that. And we had three-hour meetings. We had six of them, and where we were exchanging or getting information about what would happen to our community if legal cannabis came in. And I asked Officer Joe to please come, and he couldn't get a slot to, like, educate, spend 10 minutes and be on the roster, but he was allowed to come in as a public comment, and so he had to wait. He sat there. And this is what I really appreciate about you, Officer Joe, and Aaron, and Kathy, and Bill, and all the people in our network, that they will, you know, wait and go the extra length to help other people who are having issues in their community and are trying to defeat something in their community. And I just want to say thank you so much. And actually, and I'm going to say here too, they recorded the advisory group meetings, the Hermosa Beach Cannabis Advisory Group meetings. And there was a man from Costa Mesa or Irvine, I can't remember which, about an hour south of where we live. And they were bringing marijuana up on his city council, and so he started doing some searches online, and he found our advisory group meeting posted, and he was watching it, and he saw Officer Joe's presentation, and he was so blown away by it, he sent it out to activists in his community and to the city council, and this was all in one day, and he got all of these activists together, and they came in. And they all said, no, you are not even going to bring this in here. And they got it taken off the agenda. And so,
the secret weapon.
You know, you just don't know how far your work is going to spread. And so that is the impact that Officer Joe had. And I'm really grateful because it was all about, like you said, the illegal grows. And we were able to say we're supposedly a healthy community that cares about the environment, that cares about health, and we're going to support an industry that's decimating our environment, using up all this water that's tied to the illicit market. Seriously, we have to be opposed to this. We can't be neutral. We have to be opposed. And so it was really helpful to have your video showing the data and the actual visuals.
I do remember the last scene of that video was a surfer in the ocean and looking out at over a clean ocean, and it was such a juxtaposition from that to what marijuana does to the environment, and showing what is in illegal marijuana and legal marijuana.
They're
one in the same, right? And so Heidi, what's and Carolyn, what's in there for the future down there? What do you see? What's going on? You have you're now experts in the field. You're both savvy politically. What's coming down the road?
Well, we hope that they got the message and they've moved on to other things. That's what we hope. But in the state of California, it doesn't take much to get something on the ballot. No. I mean, that's the bottom line. 10 to 15% of registered voters. It just doesn't take much. But we just hope that they've moved on somewhere else because they spent all that money. It was a resounding no. And I don't know what they think would be different next time around.
How about the drumbeat of psychedelics? Are you seeing that at all? You know, LSD and mushrooms, either of you.
I mean, I think it's just in the world now. I mean, it's on Netflix, all these, you know, great programs about how beneficial shrooms will be, you know, and how therapeutic it is. And it's just mind-boggling. And I talk to the people who mention how, you know, oh, have you heard about this? It's supposed to be really helpful for people with depression. And I'm like, okay,
here we go
do
again.
You know?
Yeah. Hold on.
Here we go again. We have to take a quick break. We got to come back so we can ruminate on mushrooms. I was going to play a song from Willy Wonka. I should have left it. I want it now. I want the whole world. You know that whole thing? Yeah. But instead, I switched it because I was thinking Officer Joe needed his own special song. So we'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You call me strong, you call me weak, but still your secrets I will keep. Took for granted all the times I never let you down. You stumbled in and bumped your head. If not for me, then you'd be dead. I picked you up, put you back on solid ground. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there? I'm holding my hand. I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman might, kryptonite.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Did you know that the marketing of marijuana is a misogynistic and racist activity? That's right. Most marijuana corporations are owned and controlled by rich, fat cat white corporate types, and most dispensaries are placed into depressed communities of color. These communities can least afford the chains of drug addiction and corporate greed. For more information about marijuana, please visit sources like ALM, Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, at www.aalm.info. And remember, let's be careful out there.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
The whole point.
Aaron, I have a short story.
You have a short story?
I have a short story.
Are you O. Henry?
Well, it has to do with psychedelics, okay? And it takes me back to my youth, and no, not me. But my godfather lived next to Ken Kesey.
Oh.
And so he was...
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And all the, and the Merry Pranksters. And so they were high all the time. And they were high on LSD.
Explains a lot.
That's when they were fully, you know, really experimenting with it. And my godfather was retired Air Force and very conservative. And he didn't like having all these crazy guys running around his woods at night. So he would sit on his porch, his beautiful country porch, and this is in New York State. And all these hippies, and I was one when I was a kid, just so you know, all these hippies would be running around in the middle of the night, and it bothered him as he would sit there drinking his mint juleps. And about the fourth or fifth mint julep, he decided he would take out his .45.
I was just going to say, when did the pop shots begin?
And in the middle of the night, there would be these screams coming out of the woods. Now, he never shot anybody, but it was
according to family legend.
According to family legend, it was. So that's been around for a long time, and it's the psychedelics that are so dangerous. And I wonder about the psychiatrists and psychologists that I read about now that are embracing. Oh, this new treatment, we can use psychedelics on our patients. And I'm just thinking, what is going on with our society? We can't even keep our kids on track, and now we want to get people high on mushrooms and everything else out there. Okay,
it's,
over to you, Aaron.
It's cruel.
Sure. It's cruel.
Know,
it is.
I mean, one of the things, I was speaking with a group of L.A. County youth, high school students, and some college students about 10 days ago, and I did a presentation showing them that we know about the mental health harms of THC, and the FDA provides it on the warning package insert that comes with prescription THC that we've had since 1985, and it says hallucinations, paranoia, vomiting, other things. Our Surgeon General warned about this in 2019. He warned about psychosis, schizophrenia, suicide. The state of Colorado has an educational resource which talks about all the mental health effects. The state of Connecticut warns its users about psychosis, anxiety, and suicide, I'm pretty sure. And Canada has provided information to their consumers about anxiety and that it can worsen mental health. And they used to warn about psychosis and schizophrenia in 2018 and 2019, but they stopped saying that specifically. And in the United Kingdom, they have the first ever cannabis psychosis clinic. And so I showed all this to the youth, and I'm saying, so this is out there. And the question is, why haven't you heard it in California? It's not right. And we had a bill in our state last year, SB 1097, to put mental health warnings on THC packages. And I know what our legislature heard because I was a volunteer in between the victims and the sponsor of this bill. And so I know all the personal stories of impaired driving fatalities, of psychosis, and of suicide and homelessness brought on by their use of THC. And our legislature allowed the industry to pressure them so much that the bill was pulled. And when I told these kids, they just said, it makes me feel like people don't care about us as human beings, that they wouldn't just tell us this can happen. And two of them said that at their school, the administrators or the teachers said, we will lose federal funding, or we're afraid we're going to lose federal funding if we talk about marijuana. So we're not going to talk about it, period.
You know, Heidi, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring in my fellow sister, Kathy Grindstaff. And as you and Carol have partnered together, and when you do that, you become, you know, omnipotent and much more powerful when you have a partner to help you. And Kathy, when you two were both relaying your stories today, I literally looked to my right and I said, well, that's Kathy. That's Kathy. So I'd like to introduce Kathy and have her speak a little bit today, too. Kathy?
Well, I don't. I
Kathy's just our sidekick all the time.
I know. But and I'll sit here and I'll start crying. But because I know, because I really do believe in the youth of our community. These are our future. And how can we not stand up and speak for them? How can we not do this and admit this is such a failure?
Dangerous. What a ridiculous experiment.
I mean, we have all the science. We have all the data. We have all the facts. And you just stand up there before the Board of Supervisors or the city councils, and you just want to go, what the are you guys doing? Like, really, what are you doing?
Especially when they tout that they like to work with youth and that they, we get that out of our supervisors, and then they take money from the collectives, and you're going like, really?
And I have to, I'm going to just briefly, my son was killed by a drunk driver. So And my belief from the whole experience was, I can't change it. I can't bring him back. But you know what? Something good has to come from that. And so whether it is being an activist or speaking on behalf of our kids, that is what I'm going to do because that is something good. I can make a difference. And whatever it is, I want to make a difference for our kids. They deserve it.
Yeah. I think sometimes the word activism gets a bad name because people think of angry people burning down stores or, you know, throwing rocks through windows or whatever. But really good activism is about
educating.
It's about advocacy and education. And it isn't about being angry. Frankly, I don't think anybody performs mm-hmm. better when they're angry. I think they lose all of their credit. You lose your credibility. You make bad decisions. You don't think well on your feet. And so when the opposition comes, you're not prepared to take them down because you're angry. You know, you have to be pretty well balanced to be a good activist if you want to be successful there.
Right.
And I think people who are working on conservative causes, I think this would fall under conservative causes for the most part, they can operate in that space. But they can't operate in the, you know, angry screaming Mimi space, and I think sometimes that's what people think you have to do.
No,
you don't.
Mm-mm.
That's actually how you lose.
No, you got to keep a level head, a level voice. You got to state your facts and be able to back everything up.
Yeah, use the tools that you're good at. If you're good at speaking, speak. If you're not, show video. If you're not good at either of those, find some other people who know how to speak. I mean, there's a place for everybody in this.
Yeah, and Officer Joe and I have been doing this for so long. It's crazy. And I remember when we first started going before the Board of Supervisors and speaking, is he just felt like we weren't getting any attention or we weren't making a difference. But here we are, how many years later, and we are making a difference.
But it took 50 victims and going and investigating their marijuana complaints and bringing them in front of the Board of Supervisors and having them tell their stories, their heartfelt stories of being victimized by marijuana growers, having their fences torn down, their homes broken into, all of their generators, even their water systems stolen by growers.
Well, some people, their property. I mean, they weren't able to access their property
for years. That's right.
Right. Right. But, you know, if the marijuana industry can go to our leaders and so easily convince them to bring this into their communities with a few dollars, then why can't we go before our city leaders and bring our youth in and go, why? Why would you choose dollars over our
and
kids?
And it's not an experiment you can turn on and turn off, as Carolyn pointed out.
Nope.
Once you let that in.
Once you open that barn door.
That go away.
And the time that we did bring our youth in, they were targeted with violence and threats by the marijuana folks.
Yep.
And that's why we can't bring them in front of our board, our city council or boards anymore. It might be different in Southern California. Maybe all of you down there could get away with it. We can't do it here because they'll follow you home.
What is the pushback down in your neck of the woods, ladies?
So I just want to bring up one thing about medicine that I don't mean to do a left turn here, but we had spoken about how the industry will say we're coming into your community to bring medicine to your community.
Yeah.
And some of
sure.
the people in our community said, oh, I have a friend or a neighbor who uses marijuana for cancer, and so we should legalize it somehow, so don't demonize marijuana. And I just want to counter that with, when you talk with people from the industry and you say, oh, really? Well, what's the percentage of THC of your products? Tell us. And what are the side effects, if this is medicine, of your products? They don't have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, one of the big proponents for legal marijuana in the South Bay was doing a presentation for our advisory group. And I said, and I questioned him about the potency. I said, what's the potency that has been studied, that has shown that it has any medicinal benefits? And he said, I don't know, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. And I'm like, yes, I am going to tell you. And it's nothing over 10%. And Dr. Libby Stout has been on your show and talked about this. And so the industry people themselves have no idea what they're talking about.
Nope.
And then one of the backers of these initiatives and measures, was quoted as saying, "I'm not going for sainthood. When it comes to winning licenses, this is blood sport."
Wow.
And so when they're trying to say, right, it's very clear, this is not about compassionate medicine. This is not about somebody with cancer needing a little bit of marijuana to get through their nausea.
Yeah.
No, this is blood sport. And that's why they came to our community with $250,000 almost.
Yep. And yeah, see, that tells you everything. When you're willing to spend that kind of money, when you actually have that available to you, that's pretty crazy. Even the pharmaceutical industry doesn't come loaded.
Oh, yeah, they make that back in a month. I mean, there's so much money involved in that business that they can just throw it around. I mean,
we are,
and they do.
We're into the last minute, so we're not out of time, which I'm gonna ruin my record here. We're not actually out of time, but I thought, hey, just for once in a great while, we would actually thank everyone for being on rather than just cut them off. Cut them off at the pass.
I
really want to thank all of you guys for all of the work that you're doing and for inspiring all of the other people who want to get involved but maybe don't know how. Don't feel like they have the resources or don't think it's a problem yet. If they don't think it's a problem yet, we have a program for you too. Bunches of them. So please, please utilize the resources that we have available. So we have been chatting with Carolyn Petty, Heidi Anderson Swan, and Kathy Grindstaff, and Officer Joe and Amy Hawley. And we really appreciate you guys and gotta thank you.
Thank you.
You can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us.
Only heaven knows in this game of hiddenness how long can we go on like this. Only heaven knows, but if we threw it all away, something we'd regret someday.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.